I'm joined this morning by Ryan Rubishko, dicamba portfolio lead, and Ty Witten, crop protection lead here at Monsanto. Within our commercial organization, Ryan leads customer engagement and our dicamba product portfolio. Ty leads technology development efforts and heads the team dedicated to walking fields with growers who have contacted us via the 1-844-RR-Extend inquiry hotline that you might be familiar with. Also joining us on the line are two growers who will share their experiences with our dicamba product this season, Mr. Tommy Riley from Southeast Missouri and Mr. Brian Havlovinka from Southeast Texas. Today, we'll be providing a mid-season update on dicamba led by Ryan Rubishko. And with that, I'll hand it over to Ryan.
Thanks, Christy, and thank you for joining today's call. My name is Ryan Rubishko, and I'm the dicamba portfolio lead at Monsanto. As everyone on the call probably knows, the past month has been a busy one for spraying. At this important point of the season, we wanted to schedule this call to share our perspective on the season, provide an opportunity for a couple of our customers to share their perspectives, and answer any questions you might have about dicamba this season. I'm very pleased to note that reports from the field have been very positive. Dicamba-tolerant soybeans and cotton varieties were planted across 50 million acres this year. Across this wide acreage, our customers are telling us they're having success with our low-volatility dicamba product, Extendamax, with Vapor Grip technology. We're also talking with customers every day about their experiences. The consistent feedback is that weed control is outstanding, and they've been achieving on-target applications. Prior to the season, Monsanto, others in the industry, and academic leaders trained more than 94,000 growers and applicators on the enhanced application requirements, and our customers have told us that training was very valuable. Now that we're midway through the season, we have a sense of how things are starting to shape up. In a recent USDA report as of July 8th, 47% of the soybean crop was blooming, and 71% of the crop is in excellent or in good condition. Last season, U.S. soybean growers produced a record 4.39 billion bushels, due in large part to record yields in several states across the Delta. Many soybean growers told us dicamba played a role in their success in 2017. We are encouraged by what we are seeing and hearing in the field so far in 2018 and what will it mean for growers' yields this year. Like last season, growers are directing their dicamba-related questions, feedback, and or issues to our 1-844-RR-Extend hotline number. As of June 28th, Monsanto Dicamba Hotline has received 156 inquiries about a potential off-target movement. We take those very seriously, those inquiries. We encourage any grower or landowner who believes there might be symptomology caused by dicamba on their property to call us directly at 1-844-RR-Extend so that we can arrange to do a visit and carefully review and evaluate the situation with that farmer or landowner. We're working as quickly as possible to walk every field, and we continue to provide updates on those inquiries we receive throughout the season. As we walk these fields, in some instances, we are seeing evidence of off-target movement that appears to be related to failure to follow label instructions, along with other potential factors. For this reason, we want to remind growers that regardless of the herbicide they're spraying, it's critically important to read and follow all label requirements. For low-volatility dicamba, do not spray if wind is blowing toward a susceptible crop. Understand the wind and environmental conditions for each and every application, and following all of the other label requirements, and use only approved low-volatility formulations in crop. Importantly, none of the issues we've assessed so far this season have been attributed to Extendamax volatility. Early reports also indicate some symptomology could be attributed to other factors, including environmental stresses, other herbicide mixtures with AMS, exposure to other herbicides, and spray system hygiene. That's why it's so critical that we carefully review the facts and data regarding each and every inquiry. We ask everyone at the companies, at the universities, and in the news media to base their reporting and conclusions about possible off-target movement of dicamba this growing season on information gathered by walking fields and thoroughly reviewing and evaluating the facts. Low volatility dicamba is meeting a critical need on the farm. Farmers need new technologies like Extend Soybeans, Extend Flex Cotton, and Extendamax herbicide to fight weeds on their fields. and this combination of technologies delivers results. Last season, 97% of customers using ExtendiMax were satisfied with their weed control. And at this point of the 2018 growing season, we are confident growers will have even more success in 2018. With that, we've invited a couple of farmers to join us on the phone today to share their experiences with the technology. First, let me welcome Mr. Tommy Riley, who grows soybeans, cotton, corn, and rice in southeast Missouri. Thanks for joining us, Tommy. We also are pleased to have Brian Levinka, who grows cotton in southeast Texas. Thanks also, Brian, for joining us today. Tommy, why don't we start out with you, and could you give us an update on your experiences with dicamba this season?
Good morning. My name's Tommy Riley. I'm a farmer in southeast Missouri, specifically New Madrid County. I have a farm, 4,000 acres of cotton, corn, soybeans, and rice. My experience with dicamba has been positive all the way around. I have dicamba crops. I have cotton, extend cotton, and extend beans. And my only negative issue with it right now is it's been taken away from us as of June 10th, and we're growing back up now. We're trying to figure out how to stop the almighty pigweed without being able to spray dicamba.
A little bit more in detail of you know, when you made your applications, did you spray it just in 2018, or did you have an opportunity to spray ExtendiMax in 2017 as well? And you mentioned some of the, you know, impact on the cutoff date experienced in southeast Missouri. Could you share some examples of where you were able to spray and in other fields where maybe you didn't have that due to that limitation? What are you seeing in those fields as well?
Yes, I used it. I used ExtendiMax in 2017. Had great results with it. There's been a lot of negativity around it because of a lot of misunderstandings and, like you said before, the lack of knowledge and training of how to correctly apply it and when to apply it. But we had successful luck with, we had no off-target movement as far as drift concerns on my farm at all in 2017, and haven't seen any in 2018 at all either. We sprayed an early burn down and was able to get one post application made before the June. It was June the 1st, and then they gave us till June the 10th, and we were able to make one post application of dicamba after that. But at that point in time, with the stage of the crops and all that, it cleaned them up at that point. But we've been extremely dry since then, and we have a lot of crops on 38-inch rows, and it takes a long time for them to lap the middles and shade out the rest of the weeds. So our canopy's exposed for quite some time, and that's where we're seeing the regrowth of weeds, and primarily pigweeds.
Tommy, can you you mentioned pigweed there. Can you describe, you know, what is that problem, pigweed, in southeast Missouri, specifically on your farms? You know, what are some of the challenges you're facing with pigweed?
Oh, it the Palmer pigweed, or any of the pigweed family, it's the most prolific weed species I've ever seen in my life. It becomes resistant very quickly to other forms of chemistry. We were killing it with Roundup, and then it beat that, and then there's other Reflex and other chemistries like that. That it grows so fast and regenerates so quickly and produces so many seeds every year that it's just a real tough case to take care of. And we had a great solution with the dicamba products, and now we're kind of back to square one with them, because we're going to have a, we're chopping, we're mechanically tilling, we're back to all the things that we used to have to do, and we're gonna add to our seed bank, back to our seed bank, and next year, it'll just be, I think they say one pigweed is capable of producing over 1 million seeds, so it's disheartening to see any out there, and when you see one, you're going to have 1 million around him next year, and then so on and so forth. So our need for the technology in Southeast Missouri is huge.
Thanks, Tommy, for sharing those experiences, and glad to hear that things are going well, but it sounds like you're still facing some things, now that we've passed that deadline down in Southeast Missouri. Brian, let's move to you. Can you give us an update on how things are going down in Southeast Texas?
Okay, my name is Brian Levinka. The farm is Levinka Cattle Company. We farm about 6,500 acres of rice, corn, and cotton. 3,000 of that is cotton this year. I've had experience with dicamba for the last 2 years. Have yet to have an incident with it. It has worked well for me. I actually run both systems. I run the Enlist system also, and I have to agree with Tommy 100%. The auxin technology in general keeps us farming at with a chance of a profit, because like he was talking about, going back to some of the older school methods of controlling weeds, chopping, using herbicides that you have to be as careful or possibly more careful with than even the dicamba technology, just because of damage to the crop, can get very expensive. And so this technology comes along, and it fits in well with the program. My experience with it, this year, we were getting ready to plant. I have some cotton planted as early as March 20th in a little further south on a farm. We have a little further south of where I am. I'm about 60 miles from the coast, from the Gulf of Mexico, and we have one farm that's about 10 miles from the coast. So we get to plant a little earlier there. When we came here, where my home is, to plant, we had our stuff burned down, and just the Texas weather on the coast, it rained, and my burn down did not last, and we had a flush of weeds, and so we it was planting time, and we didn't have time to burn down ahead of the planter, so we used dicamba actually when we planted, and started with a clean field, and there's not many farmers out there that would disagree with me that starting clean is probably the most important thing we can do when farming cotton. You have to start clean, and the dicamba allowed me to use something somewhat economical and very effective at making sure that I started clean. I have since sprayed some of my fields only once, but most of them twice over the top. And I'm sure we're further along than Tommy is with his crop. And so most of my middles are shaded already, and they've been shaded for a couple weeks. And so we put our lay-by down, and if you were to hop in a truck with me and go look around, you will not see. Let me back up. My main weed is like his. It's a pigweed species, but it's water hemp. And to the trained eye, to the untrained eye, you wouldn't be able to tell them apart. But they're in the same family, and they grow the same, and they produce a lot of seed, just like Tommy said. And if we were to drive around my farm, you will not see any sticking out. If there are, it's very rare. But like I said, my fields are clean, and we're heading into the latter part of growing our crop. The technology as a whole is something that we need. It came at the right time too, because it was becoming very difficult to maintain your fields every year, like Tommy talked about. Just your seed your seed from the previous year going into the next year, if you do some math on that and you have a million seeds and you kill 99% of them, that 1%, you still have a lot of weeds out there to deal with, and that's just from one plant. And so, like I said, this technology allows us to selectively take those out without hurting the cotton. You know, one of the big problems or issues, it's not a problem, it's an issue that we could potentially run into with dicamba is off-target movement. And like I said, I have yet to have an issue. The only issue that we've had to deal with is you have to make sure your sprayer is clean, because I do run both systems. So I go between the Enlist and the dicamba. The choice to run two systems is not the smartest thing to do, because it's difficult, because there's some cross-contamination issues you have to deal with. But the main reason I do it is for my neighbors. I have some neighbors a little further south of town that have the Enlist, and I'm the only one embedded in there with them. And so I put Enlist cotton there to avoid any potential problems between us. But the rest of my farm, like I said, spatially where we can get away with it, it's dicamba.
Well, thanks, Brian. I appreciate that feedback, and good to hear that, frankly, both of you are having excellent experiences with this technology here this season. With that, I think we'd like to go ahead now and open up the line for questions from the reporters who've joined us today.
I had a question for the farmers. I wanted to get a sense of how you're thinking about the liability issue, given all the litigation that we saw amongst neighbors last year, farmers and otherwise, around alleged damage. How big a concern is this to you, and do you feel as though the manufacturers of the dicamba products should bear any sort of responsibility or liability, as well as the applicator or the farmer?
Tommy, maybe we'll start with you, and then Brian, if you want to add any additional comments as well.
This is Tommy Riley again. I'm not concerned much about the liability, because I follow the label, and that's the best I know to do with any chemical, and within the application, we do it right. And as long as I'm doing it right, I'm doing it under, within, or the law.
Thanks, Tommy. Brian, you have any additional comments?
Yeah, I agree with Tommy. You know, if you use the technology the way it's designed to be used, I don't think there's going to be issues. Like I said, it wouldn't get through the EPA if we had potential problems that were going to cause, you know, massive litigation and massive, you know, problems with it. It wouldn't be good for the industry, wouldn't be good for anybody. And so, like I said, if farmers follow the label, under what it was tested, and we know it works, I don't particularly worry about, actually, I don't worry at all about my neighbor, because it's like I said, if you stay under label and you do it right, there's not any problems to deal with. And as far as the companies being liable for it, you know, I don't think that's an issue either, because like I said, that, Monsanto actually has the class we need to take, or the, I don't know what you want to call it, seminar or whatever, on the proper way to use it. And if you stay on label guidelines, I don't really foresee any potential problems. I mean, we know that it has to be physical drift, and in the parameters we have to spray it, we know that we're decreasing those chances tremendously. And so, like I said, there's been very few issues in my area at all. The ones that seem to crop up, somebody was running off label. Somebody was spraying in a high wind, or mainly a high wind, because you're going to get some physical movement there. But like I said, if you spray in a 30-mile-an-hour wind, I don't care what you're spraying, you're going to have some drift. And that's off label. So like I said, if you stay within the parameters, I think we'll be fine.
Thanks, Brian, and thanks, Tommy, for that feedback. And I think for sake of time, we'll continue to the next question.
I wanted to go back to the very first question. Ty completely cut out, so I didn't hear last year's inquiries. And then I wondered if you could repeat that time frame for those, and then what regions, what states they are coming from.
Yeah, so the question that was asked earlier about where are we tracking from 2017 to 2018, and really what regions are they coming from that we had. So where we're at this year to date from when the season started and 2017 to date from when the season started, we're relatively close to where we were last year, and basically the same geography. Really across this Boot Hill Midwest areas where we received most of the calls, very few calls in the south. Last year, still that's playing the course this year. We have very few calls that are coming in from what I would call the cotton-growing region, but really the numbers are relatively the same.
Yeah, one thing I might add as well, this is – go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say, is there one state that's more – is you're getting more calls than any other or –
At this time, we're still seeing kind of a random smattering of what's going on that we had last year. I think the most important piece that we had is even though those numbers are relatively close, it's that we get out and investigate those. Again, like I gave an example, the first call that we had come in was an individual that was vegetable that was concerned that believed she had dicamba injury. And we went out on that, spent a lot of time. We've talked with her and determined that it was actually some weed and brush applications that was done on some pastures and some other things there with this individual. And so it became a very good understanding of what all pesticides can do is move. I think, Brian, you alluded to it well, is one of the most important things you want to do is understand the downwind susceptible crop or sensitive areas for any pesticide application. And I think those have been good experiences that the applicator or the drifty, if you want to have on some of these farms, that helps understand that good communication. Again, for even these low volatility dicamba products, you don't want to be spraying towards a downwind susceptible crop or a sensitive area. That's a key issue with the product label, as well as any product label that would go out for a pesticide application. So that becomes an important component.
Yeah, one other, a couple of things I just add is, an important piece. 2017 to 2018, we doubled the number of extend crops that were planted. In 2017, we estimated about 25 million acres of extend soy and cotton planted. And this year, as I mentioned earlier, 50 million acres planted. And the other important piece relative to the symptomology is none of these we've assessed thus far in the season have been attributed to volatility for Extendamax. So we'll continue to provide ongoing updates as we continue to talk with farmers across the U.S. But again, we continue to hear very strong success from our farmer customers this season.